Welcome to Living Water Radio. Can love be commanded? Will people know us Christians by our love for one another or by our love in the Lord? Or are the two somehow connected? Today, we're going to find out. My name is Pastor David Birkenall. My wife, Reverend Sally Welch, is co-producing this podcast. Sally is a Christian Church Disciples of Christ United Church of Christ ordained minister, focusing on ecumenical interfaith ministry. I served Lutheran Christian congregations in Compton, California, and in San Dimas, California, for over 40 years. Today, maintaining our yard is my gym, and I'm active as a volunteer in the leadership of the more than 100 Evangelical Lutheran Church in America congregations in our area. Between the two of us, we have over 80 years of ordained ministry experience. Check out our first Living Water Radio podcast, number 0, Welcome and Introduction, for more information about us and this podcast. Back in the days of what some refer to as the great folk music scare of the early and mid-60s, one of the songs every Christian youth group sang was, "They Will Know We Are Christians by Our Love." I would bet that some of us of that era could still sing it. It's been said that a folk song is a song that a group of people can sing from memory, and I know that many of us could do it. There were 4 verses and 1 chorus, though when contemporary Christian music supergroup Jars of Clay recorded it, they only included 2 verses, oddly. The first verse went, "We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, and we pray that all unity will one day be restored." The next verses are about spreading the news of the presence of God, guarding human dignity and pride, and praising the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in between the verses was the chorus, "And they'll know we are Christians by our love." Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We sang that song in a minor key, and we were serious and earnest and a little bit ominous in our delivery. And then the Lutherans got involved. Well, some of the Lutherans pointed out that the world must know us by our Lord before it knows us by our love for one another. And that, I believe, is exactly what Jesus is saying in John 13, verses 31 to 35. "When he had gone out, Jesus said, 'Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so I now say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." If you think you're having a deja vu moment here, you're right. We're back in the text for Maundy Thursday, the night Jesus was betrayed, the night he instituted Holy Communion, the night the number of his closest disciples shrank from 12 to 11. The "he" who had gone out at the beginning of this text was Judas Iscariot, the one who was to betray him. The night he gave his disciples a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. Can love be commanded? Apparently, Jesus did, but Jesus is using a very specific word for love, and that makes all the difference. The Greek language in which the New Testament was written has several words for love, and the one Jesus uses in this text is agape. Agape means selfless love. It is the kind of love in which the needs of the other are placed ahead of the needs of the one loving. It is the kind of love with which God loves us. It is foreign to sinful human beings. Human beings cannot love in this way unless we first receive it from God. So when Jesus commands us to love one another as he has loved us, it is a command in the same sense that we command a healthy tree to bear good fruit. It's a natural outcome. This love flows from the new creation we are in Jesus Christ. It flows from our baptism. It flows from the streams of living water within us, flowing up onto eternal life. Maundy, as in Maundy Thursday, is an Old English word that comes from the Latin word mandatum, from which we get our words commandment and mandate. The word mandate is not so popular in some circles today. Some people resist any attempt to command behaviors that would literally save lives during our current pandemic, and that leads us to some questions about selfless love. How many coronavirus or variant deaths would be acceptable in our churches? None. Should the church be known as an institution that is indifferent to community health? No. Should we be willing to risk the lives and health of others as long as our own is not at risk? No. Is there any risk in receiving the vaccines and boosters? Some think there is. So, is it an expression of the kind of love with which God first loved us to say, I'll let others be the guinea pigs, or I'll let others get the vaccines until we reach herd immunity and then I'll be fine, or I'm not old or immunocompromised, so I'll take my chances, and if I transmit the virus to those at risk, oh well. Our main Bible reading today tells us of Jesus' mandate that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. So the question to ask ourselves as Christians living in a pandemic, living in response to God's gift to us of the living relationship of faith with the one true living God when considering mandates is, what is best for others? Wearing your mask, getting a vaccine, whatever we think they accomplish for ourselves, says to others, I care about you. We don't do it for ourselves. We do it for others. We live for others because we belong to God. As Paul writes in Romans chapter 14, verses 7 and 8, we do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Nowhere is this seen more clearly today than in the war in Ukraine. The dominant religious group in Ukraine has been the Russian Orthodox Church. 70% of the people of Russia are Russian Orthodox. 71% of the people of Ukraine were Russian Orthodox at the beginning of the war. When the war started, the head of the Russian Orthodox Church declared it a holy war. The Russian Orthodox in Ukraine said, wait a minute, we're the innocent victims here. Church members in both Russia and Ukraine are upset about this declaration. The depth of the evil people can inflict on each other is on full display. Christians are killing Christians. And over what? What witness can we give to the world when we as a people are to be known for our love for one another, but instead are killing one another? The plain fact is that human beings are a mess. We've always been a mess. We sin, we separate ourselves from God. We can make no claim for a righteousness of our own. Our only witness to the world is the cross, that Jesus gave his life for we sinners, and then took it back again in the resurrection to validate the power of the cross. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. The mystery of our faith is not that it's a problem to be solved, but that it's beyond our understanding. It is a gift from God that comes and can only come from God while we are sinners. I shared a meme near Maundy Thursday that showed an angry dog captioned, "Me when Barabbas is freed instead of Jesus," and a picture of the same dog smiling and captured, "Me when I realize Barabbas is me." Jesus is the only hope for this fallen world, and we have seen his victory on the cross and in the empty tomb. But we live in this paramedic and war-ravaged environment as it is, and loving others selflessly is counterintuitive. It is how we live, though, because it is a natural reflection of who we are in Jesus Christ, a new creation. Next time, we're going to look at how life in this world can make Christians bitter, and how being and living as a new creation can make us better. Today, let's remember to pray for all those who have yet to get the vaccines and the booster, because they are most at risk to themselves and to others. And let's remember to pray the Lord's Prayer sometime today, the one that Jesus taught us. If you don't know what that is, contact us at therevsdavidandsally@gmail.com or send us a tweet to @DavidBerkadahl, and we'll send it to you. Send your prayer requests to either of the same addresses, and we'll include them next time. Send your comments there as well. As always, we encourage you to stay hydrated. Open your heart to receive the living water from the source, God's self, the living presence of the one true living God, the God who gave himself on the cross so that all who believe and are baptized might be restored to the living relationship with God for which we were created. Remember your church. Identify one if you don't already have one. Ask a friend about it or a family member. Google it. Contact the pastor. When you have a church, go to or tune into the worship service they have available. And support your church financially so that it will be fully functioning as we move now out of the variants and back into the new normal. Support your pastor and church leaders. Pray for them and help them in any way that you can. They're trying to find their footing. They're trying to keep everybody happy. You know how impossible that is. Support them. Pray for them. If you or a loved one are having thoughts of suicide or are struggling with mental health issues, call somebody, contact a friend or a relative, Google a local national hotline, talk with a professional, reach out. You are not alone. There are people around you who will walk with you through this dark time and into the light. Wear a mask when you're outside your home, practice social distancing, wash or sanitize your hands regularly, get your vaccine. It's the one thing you can do to keep lowering the curve and to literally save lives. Do it for the sake of others. Avoid crowds if you can, and be outside if you have to be in a crowd. Be kind to everyone you come into contact with, especially those who are sacrificing their security to provide for yours. We all struggle in some way. Be a helper and an encourager. Thank you for listening to Living Water Radio. We are here for Christians and for the people of the Los Angeles metropolitan area who are looking for a sense of Christian community, a source of hope, and a way to thrive together during this global pandemic. We hope you'll tune in next time and invite your friends to do the same. Meanwhile, Sally and I encourage you to open your hearts to receive living water, the presence of the Holy Spirit, and stay hydrated.